ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरुवे नमः। नमो महावदान्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नाम्ने गौरद्विषे नमः। हे कृष्ण करुणा सिन्धु दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी श्री राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। This is a discourse on Sri Sri Chaitanya Chandramritam, an exquisite text written by Srila Prabhudananda Saraswati Pad. He was a resident of Brajadham and a very close associate of Kali Yuga Pavan, that is, Sri Gauranga Sundar, who had come to purify Kali Yuga, who is Prem Purushottam, that is, embodiment of Prem, or Prem personified, and the ocean of mercy. Sri Chaitanya Chandramritam is a treatise of love, and an exposition of Prem, that is, dedicated to Srila Saraswati Pad's Gurudev, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Saraswati Pad was the crest jewel of Gaura Bhaktas. In verse number 124, that is 124, Srila Saraswati Pad, he is saying, since ancient times, the rishis were not sure about the process of bhakti. In fact, before the advent of Sri Gauranga Sundar, nobody was perfectly sure about the path of bhakti. But today, after the advent of Sri Gauranga Sundar, this path has become crystal clear. Nothing about the process of bhakti is left to doubt or to speculation. Today, everyone accepts that Prem Bhakti is the topmost goal. Saraswati Pad is saying that Sarvagyai Munipungavai. This means that those sages who were Sarvagya means they knew all. They knew all the scriptures. They were well versed and well learned. They were scholarly. And they were not ordinary sages. They were Muni Pungavai, that means the best of sages. They also, by their mental speculation, they could not decide on the truth. They were not sure about the topmost goal that the Shastras decide. What is the best achievable goal for the living entity? Various sages have put forth their opinions. In fact, if we read the Shastras, then we often find that there is a debate amongst the opinions. But now, aduna means now, apratime Gaura Chandra Udite, that means now that Gaura Chandra, the moonlight Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu, has ascended, this beautiful moon has got great power. It has risen in the sky of Nadia. He has enabled all of us today to firmly conclude that Hari Bhakti or devotion to Lord Hari is the prime goal of all the Shastras. of all that the Shastras prescribe, rules, regulations, dharmas, why are we supposed to follow them? Ultimately, to help us to achieve Hari Bhakti. He has already told us in a previous verse that great devotees such as Uddhav, they had some desires that were unfulfilled when they appeared with Lord Krishna. But now they appeared at the time of Sriman Mahaprabhu and have fulfilled all their desires. For example, Uddhav Mahashay had this desire to relish the mercy of the foot dust of the gopis, but he was unable to taste the mercy of Gopi Prem as Uddhav. But when he appeared as an associate of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu, he got to relish that Gopi Prem. We see in Srimad Bhagavatam that Uddhav Mahashay, he spoke Harikatha to the Brijavasis and he made them happy. He also spoke Harikatha to the gopis. Although the gopis were burning so much in separation, it is true that he could not console them fully, but at least very little bit their scorching hearts were soothed. At the end, before leaving Sri Uddhav Mahashay, he said, Namasyamidam Jago. In that particular verse, he says that he is paying obeisance at the lotus feet of the gopis, and he has kept a single desire. Nandi Vrajasrinam Padarenu Avikshajam. I pray that the foot dust of the gopis may bathe me. That is, I want to be bathed by the foot dust of the gopis. And before this, he sings glory upon glory of the gopis, which we know as Uddhav Geet in Srimad Bhagavatam. Prabhudananda Saraswati Pad is saying that devotees such as Uddhav came along with Sriman Mahaprabhu and they relished this Gopi Dasya Ras. Even Brahma had come to Brajabhumi, and when he saw the glory of the Brajavasis, that how Krishna behaves with the Brajavasis, how his actions and reactions are, then even he had prayed. Aho Bhagyam, Aho Bhagyam, Nanda Gopa Brajokasham, Yan Mitram Paramanandam, Purna Brahma Sanatanam. Oh, the Brajavasis are so fortunate. These Brajavasi boys, Purna Brahma Sanatana, that means the eternal, the supreme Brahman personified, he is a friend of these Brajavasi boys. How great they are! They are indeed blessed. So fortunate they are. Ultimately, he had prayed that I wish I could become a piece of stone kept at the border, on the border of Vrindavan. That means where the lower caste people, the Hajis, the Chandals, they live. I wish to become a stone out there so that their women, after cleaning Brajadham, they will come and wash their feet on this stone. Even Brahmaji's desire was not fulfilled in this birth of Brahma. Saraswati Pad is saying that what Brahma could not fulfill in his Brahma body and Uddhav could not fulfill in his Uddhav body, they all descended as Sri Gauranga Sundar's associate and fulfilled their particular desires. There were some devotees who got the bhav of sakhas such as Sridham. Who were these devotees? They were all Lord Nityananda's associates. They were always in the bhav of Sridham, Subal, Madhumangal, and other Sakhas. They were engrossed in Sakya Bhav. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami records how Nitai Chand appeared to him in a dream. He has written, Shei Noihati Te Jhamodpur Namo Gram. This means that there is a village called Jhamatpur, which is near Naihati. It is very close to Katua. Tohi Shapne Dakha Dila Nittanandaram. Nitai Chand, the beautiful Nitai Chand, the pleasant Nitai Chand, appeared to me in a dream. Dandavat Hoyamui Purinu Charanete. I fell like a stick at his lotus feet. Nijo Pado Padmo Prabhu Dila Mor Mathe. The Lord very mercifully placed his foot on my head. Oh, Nitai Chand is such an ocean of mercy. He placed his foot on Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami's head. Krishnadas was lying like a stick at his feet. And then Nitai Chand told him, Utho, utho, Nitai Chand bole bar bar. Nitai Chand was saying again and again, Krishnadas, get up, get up. Utitar rupa dekhi hoinu chamutkar. When I got up and I saw his beauty, it was so extraordinary that I was wonderstruck. Shyamalochikkanakanti prakando sharir. He was dark complexioned and had a gigantic body. He looked as handsome as millions and millions of love gods put together, and he looked like a huge, strong-armed wrestler. Shubolito hastopado kamalo nayon. His hands and legs were extremely strong, and his eyes were shaped like the lotus petals. Patta vastra shire patta vastra vibhushan. He had tied a silk turban around his head and he wore silk jewelry. Sorry, not jewelry, clothes. He wore silk clothes. Shubarno angad ar shubarno balay. He wore gold armlets and gold bangles. Payete nupuro baje konthe pushpamala. In his feet there were ringing anklets, and around his neck there were flower garlands. Chandane lepito ongo tilako shutham. His body was anointed with chandan sandalwood paste design, and he had very strong bold tilak on his forehead. Madho matto gajajini manthara payan. He was walking like an intoxicated elephant, slowly. Krishna preme matto ango dahine bame dole. He was intoxicated with Krishna preme and he was swaying side to side. Krishna, Krishna, Krishna boli gumbhira bol boli. And he was roaring, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. What a wonderful dream Kaviraj Goswami had of Nitai Chand. He is further saying, Ranga Joshti Hate Dole Jano Matto Shingho. Nitai Chand was holding a red colored stick and he was roaring like a crazy lion. Chari Pashe Beriache Charonete Bhingo. And all around his feet there were a lot of bumblebees. Who were these bumblebees? They were his associates. Parishad Gon Dekhi Shab Gopopesh. His associates were all sitting, they were hovering around his lotus feet. and they were all dressed as gopa boys. See, these are the same associates that Prabodhananda Saraswati Pad is saying, that there were Gaur Parshad or Gaur associates who were in the mood of Sakhas such as Shridam. These associates were none other than the dearmost group of Lord Nitai Chand. As described by Kaviraj Goswami. So, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is writing, Parishad Gondiki Shab Gopo Besh, Shab Krishna Krishna Valyanandeya Besh, that all these Nitai associates were dressed as Gopa boys and all of them were chanting Krishna Krishna and they were immersed, submerged in Krishna bliss. Tambul Jugai Keho Chamuro Dhulai. Some Sakha was holding an umbrella over Nitai Chand's head, while another Sakha was fanning him with a white chamar or fly whisk. Nityananda Sharupir Dekhiya Boibhav. Kiba Roop Kiba Gun Alaukik Shab. This means that Nitai Chand's associates were so wonderful, so extraordinary, they were so majestic. Such was their prowess that I was wonderstruck to see them. Take Thakur Abhiram for example. He was so mighty. Shoroshangir Vongshi Jai. Shorosh Angir Kashto Jai Bongshi Angidhari. This means that Abhiram Thakur, Nitai Chand, one of his main associates, who is none other than Shridam Sakha, he used to carry a flute which was 16 fingers long, one finger placed end to end. Then we have Ramdas, Sundarananda, Kamalakar Pippalai, Mahesh Pal, Jagadish Pal. They have all remarkable features, remarkable leelas. They used to dress up like the Gopa Sakhas and they used to behave like them. They even had similar pastimes. So, in Gaur associates, we find such Sakhas on one hand. On the other hand, we also find associates such as Swarup Damodar and Ramananda Roy, who are in the moods of Vishakha Sakhi, Lalita Sakhi. They were completely absorbed in the bhav of Braja beauties. Ramananda Roy, he is an intimate Sakhi and he has complete knowledge about Radharani. Sri Gauranga Sundar loved to hear from him. When he told Gauranga Sundar that the frame of the Braja beauties is the topmost, the superlative, then Gaursundar told him that I love hearing you. Your words, they soothe in my heart, my scorching heart so much. Please, please don't stop. Please tell me more. The Lord said, Aparupo Amrita Nodi Bahitomar Mukhe. A lovely, extraordinary river of nectar is flowing from your lips. But I wish to hear more. Ramananda Roy, he was so surprised. He said, Er aage puche haino jane. Ato din nahi jani achraye bhubani. I don't know anyone in this world who can ask that, tell me further. I don't think, my Lord, that there is anyone who can inquire so much, who can tell me that, yes, there is more to it, so please continue. So Roy replied, Tar moddhe Radha Prem Shaddha Shiromoni, Jar Mohima Sarbo Shastrete Bakhani. Srimati Radharani's prem is the topmost achievable goal, and all scriptures, they sing her glory. Then take Swarup Damodar. He was completely absorbed in the love of Braja beauty, and these devotees, they served Gaur Sundar very nicely, but they were absorbed in Gopi Prem. So, amidst Gauranga Mahaprabhu's associates, we conclude that there were devotees who were in all sorts of different bhavs. Take for instance Jagadananda Pandit. He had Satyabhama's bhav or mood. He was always bickering with Prabhu, and he was also very stubborn. However, he was only interested in serving Gaur Sundar. He was always thinking how to please him. Whatever hardships he went through, it was for Gaur Seva. How carefully and with how much trouble he carried a fragrant oil that had Chandan fragrance all the way from Navadvip. He brought that oil so carefully to Puri. All throughout the way, he would carry it himself and would not give it to anybody. He would not spill a single drop of that oil. He was so careful. And what happened after giving it to Gaur Sundar? The Lord simply refused. So Jagadananda Pandit, he crashed that bottle on the ground and broke it in anger. Then he entered his room, shut the door and started fasting. Ultimately, the Lord had to go beg him to open the door, and he told Jagadananda that today I am going to take lunch prasad at your home, Jagadananda. I am going to take Jagannath Darshan, and after I return from Darshan, I am going to be very hungry. So, I want lunch prasad ready. And then when the Lord tasted the prasad, he said, Wow, Jagadananda, you have cooked all this in anger, in an angry mood, and it is so tasty. Imagine if you cook without being angry, then how much more tasty it will be. Come, come, let us sit together and take this delicious prasad. Like this, Prabhu had so many interesting pastimes with Jagadananda. Once, Jagadananda Pandit, he made a very soft mattress. He made it out of banana bark, and he removed every fiber with his own nails. And in this manner, he made this mattress with so much hardship. This mattress was extremely soft, and he carried it himself all the way from Navadvip to Puri. Prabhu used to sleep on a torn mat, and he refused to accept that mattress. Jagadananda was again angry and hurt, but we find that he had pure love for Gauranga Sundar. So in this manner, Gauranga Mahaprabhu, had associates who were in different bhavs, but all of them had absolutely, perfectly pure prem for Gaurasundar. By serving Gauranga Mahaprabhu, these associates, they fulfilled all their desires, what they could not fulfill when they appeared as Krishna associates. By serving Gaurasundar, by loving Gaurasundar, by offering themselves to Gaurasundar, to Gaur Seva, they were completely satisfied. A satisfaction which they did not achieve when they served Sri Krishna. However, Srila Prabhudananda Saraswati Pad, he is also making a point that who got to relish the maximum Gaur Prem? They were Rup, Sanatan, Sri Jeev, Raghunath Das Goswami, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, who were Radha Kinkari or Manjaris in Sri Krishna Leela. They got even more extraordinary Gaur Ras, or to relish Gaur Prem. Later on, Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu made these Goswamis of Vrindavan as Acharyas. He did not make Swarup Damodar or Amananda Roy as Acharyas, although he shared his most confidential moods, pastimes and relishes with them. But he did not make them Acharyas. He did not make Jagadananda Pandit as Acharya. He did not make all the 64 Mahantas whom he had called to Brajadham to discern or decide on the various Leela Sthalis or places of pastimes. To decide upon them, he had called the 64 Mahantas in meditation on the banks of Jamuna. But today he did not appoint them as Acharyas. He appointed these six Goswamis of Vrindavan as Acharyas. This is why Kaviraj Goswami has written, Ei Choy Goshai Shikha Guruji Amar. This means that these six Goswamis are my Shiksha Gurus. Not only are the six Goswamis the Shiksha Gurus, but even those who are in their Anugatya or under their control, and those devotees again who are under the control of these earlier devotees, all of them are Acharyas or they are all Shiksha Gurus. All of them are relishing the sweetness of Sri Radharani's lotus feet. Thus, we get a picture where we find that Gauranga Mahaprabhu had a lot of associates who belonged to different bhavs and who were all very wonderful, very lovely devotees. But then again we find a certain section of Gaur devotees who are Rupa Nuga or who are followers of Sri Rupa Goswami and the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. We find that in their line some great devotees have appeared, such as Shyamananda Prabhu, Narottam Das Thakur Mashai. They have continued this mood of Radha Dasya. Later on, in this same line, some more luminary figures have come, such as Vishwanath Chakraborty, Baladev Vidyabhushan, and later on, all these Siddha Babas of Brajadham. Why is it we have a question now, that if everyone relished Gaur Prem in all sorts of moods, and everyone was wonderful, Gauranga Sundar did not appoint everyone as acharyas, but only the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. Why? It is because Goswamis such as Sri Rup and Sanatan, they gave us the tenets, the principles, the rules of bhakti, which are universal and binding on all Gaur devotees, to whichever mood we may belong and love Gaur Sundar, we will have to follow bhakti. We have to follow these rules of bhakti as prescribed by Goswamis such as Sri Rup. There is overall a general mood which we Gaur devotees have to have, and this is detailed out by Sri Rup. Now we find that Sri Saraswati Pad is saying Saravagyai Munipungavai, that means the best of sages, the all-knowing sages, they have debated so much and they have written such voluminous texts that for us poor human beings who have such poor health and short lifespan, we cannot even read all of them, forget coming to some sort of conclusion. Maharshi Kanad, Gautam, Jaimini, Patanjali. Then there was Maharshi Dattatreya, and none of them, please remember, none of them were ordinary people. They were all extremely strong, powerful men who have put forth logic after logic. And if we read any one of their logics, we will be convinced that he is absolutely right. Then we will go on to the other Rishi, we will read his logic, and we will say, oh, he is also right. And in this manner, we will find that everybody is right. But then, everybody, all of these rishis, they are at loggerheads with each other. And all of their conclusions, each one's conclusion, contradicts the other one. Just like our Mahajan has said, Pokhi chemun akasher uri na pai ter jatodur pare uri jai, that a bird may fly extremely high in the sky, and yet it will not be able to find the border, the boundary of the sky. Similarly, these scriptures, the texts, the logic, it is so awesome, fathomless, heightless. Nobody can reach the boundary because the Supreme Truth is limitless. He is beyond all boundaries. How can anybody discern him, understand him, conceive him by using logic and debate? He can only be attained by devotion, love, bhakti. All these rishis, they have, none of them that I have named, none of them have ever been into bhakti. They have just managed to roam outside the realms of bhakti. They are still wandering. They have been wandering only in the forest, this material forest. Although we must remember that they were very strong personalities. Why go so far? Let us take the original guru, Sri Krishna Dvaipayan Vyasadeva. Was he able to describe pure devotion? Was he able to describe the characteristics of pure devotion? Was he able to declare all the tenets of pure devotion? No, he was unable to. He had divided the Vedas. He had presented the Brahma Sutra. And then he narrated the beautiful Srimad Bhagavat Amritam. So that the Vedas, which the Brahmins did not allow the women and other castes to study, he felt mercy for women, other castes and people outside the Aryan fold, outside the Varnashram Dharma. And so, to uplift them, to deliver them, he narrated Srimad Bhagavatam. So that the message of the Vedas reach everybody on this earth. When he had completed Mahabharat, he still did not get peace. If the work that we have performed, if it is successful, if we have reached our goal, then we automatically feel a certain happiness and peace. But what he had set out to do, that is deliver mankind, he was unable to do even after the classification of the Vedas, writing the Brahma Sutras and writing and Mahabharata. Vyasadev is the Shaktyadesh avatar of Sri Krishna. And yet, he too is not able to give us in detail or very clearly the path of pure devotion. So see, pure bhakti is so much inconceivable. It is so rare. Vyasadeva is not an ordinary personality. Namaste Vyasa Vishala Buddhi Pullara Vindayata Patra Nitra Yena Taya Bharata Taila Purna Prajvalitaha Jnana Maya Pradipaha. This means that Vyasadev, he has lit the lamp of knowledge and has destroyed the darkness of ignorance. He has illuminated the sky of Bharat or India with the knowledge of all the Shastras. We pay obeisance to that Vyasadev, Veda Vyas, who is full of spiritual intellect. Yet he was confused about the right spiritual path. Then Devarshi Narad came to help him. Oh Vyas, why are you so depressed? Why are you not in your happy state? Vyasadev replied that I am not able to understand where I have gone wrong. Please tell me what mistake have I committed? Have I not spoken about the pure bhakti tattva in my scriptures? Who will take this bhakti tattva? Why not? Paramahamsa Priyaha. Bhakti is dear to the Paramahamsas, and these Paramahamsas are beloved of Vasudev, Shri Krishna. Vyasadev is thinking that this means I have not been able to please the devotees. If I have not pleased the devotees, I have not pleased Vasudev. Vyasadev was still confused about what he should do. Right then, Narad Muni appeared. Narad Muni told, "Oh, great Saint Vyas, you have spoken volumes on dharma, artha, kaam and moksha, but you have not spoken volumes about bhakti. You have spoken very little on this great subject. Why not? I have spoken about bhakti in Mahabharata. And then in Mahabharata I put Bhagavad Gita. I have spoken about bhakti in Bhagavad Gita, have I not? Yes, Vyas, you have written. But even these texts, Bhagavad Gita also, it is so much confusing. So many different yogas also are mentioned in it. People interpret Bhagavad Gita how they want, according to their opinions. And some propound yoga, some propound Mayavad through Bhagavad Gita. So now you have to write a text which will contain only bhakti. And promise me you will not make a mixture out there. Please do not put any adulteration in this new text. And then in Srimad Bhagavatam, Vyasdev described Harikatha. He described Hari Bhakti. He gave us the Chatushloki, those four verses which describe the topmost achievable goal of all humankind. All this actually Vyasdev got from Narad Muni. Narad Muni told him all this about Hari Bhakti, Hari Katha. And lastly, Narad Muni, he also described his own life to Vyasdev. He told Vyas that, see, you are today seeing me as Narad, but this is how my previous lives have been. Now Vyasdev was satisfied. He had got a conclusion. There was a deciding factor now in his life. The son of bhakti arose in his heart. He got to know what is actual truth. He came to know that prem bhakti is the topmost goal. This then he put in Srimad Bhagavatam. So Srimad Bhagavatam is the only text which propounds pure bhakti. It is therefore the king of all scriptures. When Parikshit Maharaj asked in that assembly of sages that what should a dying person do? I am about to die any time now. So what should I do? Then all those people who were seated over there, and Sutta Muni is saying that none of them were ordinary persons. All these great personalities, they started staring at each other. One sage was thinking, let me advise him to give alms. One sage was thinking, let me advise him to go into a Brahma Samadhi. Another sage was thinking, I should tell him to perform some tapasya. Everyone was tensed. They were looking at each other. They were thinking, what should I tell him? See, this proves that they were still confused, in spite of being so much learned and intelligent people. They were not able to speak out immediately. Isn't it that at this very moment, on the banks of the Ganga River, Sri Shukadev Goswami was seen approaching slowly, that handsome form, that blue complexion form, his hair rippling down in waves up till his waist, that brilliant form that illuminated the banks of the Ganga. Mother Ganga became lightened, lit up with the blue waves emanating from Shukadev Goswami's beautiful, handsome, supple body. A 16-year-old boy on the threshold of youth, conch-shell-shaped neck, beautiful, strong, long, well-proportioned arms reaching his knees, covered only by the directions, in the garb of an avadhut. A pack of children following him, giggling at him, and he was calm and serenely walking towards this assembly of great personages. So see here, these great sages were definitely confused. Why? Couldn't they have said clearly, Maharaj, from babyhood you have been a Krishna devotee. You are born in the lineage of the Pandavas. You have such short time, so just start chanting Hare Krishna. But they did not say anything like this because they themselves were doubtful that when a person has very short time, near death, then what that person must do. In India, we have a proverb, Muninancha Mati Brahmaha, that the munis, even they don't have clear intellect. This means that even they have different opinions and they disagree with one another. If munis behave like this, then what to speak of us who are weaklings of Kali Yuga? Today, in one family, we find that five members, they have five different opinions and they want to walk on five different roads. So what is surprising about this when the great sages are not in agreement with each other? Let us visit another assembly, the assembly of Naimisharanya, where thousands of sages had collected. When Sudha Goswami spoke just a few words of Harikatha, the sages said, "Sud, even we were confused. We were going to start a 1,000-year-long yajna to stop the advent of Kali Yuga. Our heart is tainted by the desire of fruits of karma. That is, we want to perform some good karma, but we have a desire for fruit. We are not performing even good karma with selfless attitude. We want some benefit in return of this good karma. So even such good karmas are then useless if we want some sort of sense gratification out of it, or some sort of desire is there. See, all these trees and creepers, their leaves have become black due to the smoke of the yajna. But now, by the kripa of Sri Krishna, you have come here. You have appeared like a captain on a nice, strong ship. We were like people drowning in the middle of the sea. And soon you have appeared like a ship captain. You have suddenly come here and you are making us drink the honey from the lotus feet of Sri Govinda. My dear devotees, don't think that rishis such as Shaunak, who had gathered in Naimisharanya, were ordinary people. yet they were confused about what is the true message of the Vedas. So it is not just today, but since eternity, great personages were confused about the true, the supreme truth, and the topmost achievable goal of mankind. Srimad Bhagavatam states clearly that only 12 people know Bhagavad Dharma, although there are thousands of sages. They are Swayambhu, Narada, Shambhu, Kumaras. This means Brahmaji, Narada Muni, Shivji, and the Kumars, Kapil Dev, Manu Swayambhu, Prahlad Maharaj, King Janak, Bhishma, Bali, Shukadev, Yamdev. The remaining who know Bhagavad Dharma have learned from these 12 Mahajans and know little bit only. So what existed till today? The answer is Gyan, Karma, Yoga, Tapasya, such type of things. Our Srila Narottam Das Thakur Mahasaya has said, Gyan, Karma, Kare Lok, Nahi Jane Bhakti Jog, Nana Mate Hoya Ogyan, Tar Katha, Nahi Shuni, Paramartho Tattva Jani, Prema Bhakti, Bhaktogano Pran. This means that I don't want to hear about Gyan, Karma, Yoga. I only know about Bhakti because pure devotion is the beloved of devotees. Thakur Masha is saying, Tar katha nahi shuni, I don't want to hear. This means that we should not even hear all other forms of deliverance, such as yogic meditation, etc., because it is a waste of time. So just see what Saraswati Pad is saying, that even the all-knowing best of munis, they have not been able to decide on the topmost goal of mankind. Let's take another example. Brahmaji, he is the first rishi, is he not? He did so much tapasya for yugas together and he got the Vedas from the Lord. These three Vedas he by-hearted, he meditated upon, he analyzed, he studied so much. And at last, he concluded that the message of the Vedas is to please the Lord. Whatever we perform, it should be to please the Lord. That is, perform sadhan bhakti. We find this in the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. But Brahmaji had many sons and these sons all had different opinions. Brahmaji was exclusive devotee, but not his sons. His sons, they started following Gyan, Karma, etc. and propounded their own disciplic succession with all sorts of different study methods. Only Devarshi Narad remained a single-pointed devotee. The four Kumaras, Sanak, Sanatan, etc., they became Brahma Gyani and they got absorbed in Brahma bliss. All they achieved was the title of Shanta Bhakta. Thus we see that amongst all Brahma's sons, Narad Muni is the only one who knows bhakti tattva. Brahmaji had one more son, that is Daksha. But see, even Daksha did not know what is pure bhakti. He was performing a yajna, of course, to please Lord Vishnu, no doubt, but still it was with some sort of fruitive desire. It was not purely selfless, unmotivated. If he actually was selfless, if he knew what is pure devotion, then he would not have spoken against Shivji. Daksha and Shivji had such a long feud. Why? Because Shivji did not stand up to give respect to Daksha. But Shivji, he was seeing the Lord in every living entity. Shivji is such so much at a high level. He is completely bereft of all material desires. He is completely detached from everything that is material and has absolutely no desire for sense gratification. The sages who came later on, they made matter even more complicated. Let us not go so far. Even in near times, in pre-Chaitanya days, there were big acharyas, but none of them were able to show us the path of pure bhakti. Starting with Adi Shankaracharya, the different acharyas, what did they propound? Either Dvaita, Dvaita Dvaita, Vishishta Dvaita, or pure Advaita. None of them gave us Achintya Bheda Bhedvad. Thus, Srila Prabodhananda Saraswati Pad, he is making a very important statement that Adhuna Sri Chaitanya Chandra Udite, this means that now Sri Chaitanya Chandra, the moon-like Sri Gauranga Sundar, has risen in the sky of Nadia to give us pure bhakti, something that no previous acharya has given. And he has made it clear that Parama Shrutyartha, this means that the prime message of the Shrutis or the Vedas is pure bhakti. What is this pure bhakti? This pure bhakti is something which was given only by Gauranga Mahaprabhu, unadulterated bhakti. Today in Kali Yuga, anyone will accept easily that bhakti is the topmost, the supreme most achievable goal of mankind. Why is it easy for anyone to decide today? It is because of the path shown by Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. He, along with his acharyas, have written so much on this topic. He has made it so clear by giving evidence from the scriptures. He has made it so clear with the help of all his devotees and he himself leading the life of pure bhakti. Our Mahajans have, as a result, written, Jodi Guru na hoito, kemone hoito, kemene dhoritam dei, Sri Radharo Mohima, Premo Rashashima, Jagote Janaito ki. This means, if Gaur had not come, then what would have happened? How would I have survived? Who would have told us the greatness of Sri Radha? Only 200 years ago, the world did not know at large the greatness, the glory of Sri Radha. What is the proof of what I am saying? Why Govinda Dev, he was present in Jaipur our beloved Govinda deity was present in Jaipur, when a Vaishnava Sampradaya, they raised objection that why Radharani should be worshipped along with Govinda Dev. This means it is so very clear that Radha worship was not acceptable in Indian public. This Sampradaya was the Ramanandi Sampradaya, that is Ramanuj Sampradaya. They said that the Shastras do not allow Radha Rani's worship with Krishna. And these Gauriyas, they are not a Sampradaya at all, because they don't have any commentary. What are they following? What rule book are they following? They don't have any rule book based on the commentary of Brahma Sutra. They don't have any Bhashya, any commentary. Radharo Mohima Premo Roshashima Jagoti Janatoki. Who would have given us this Radha Rani's worship? Today everybody is talking about being Radha Rani's servant, Radha Dasya, and people are flocking to become Radha Dasis. But they are not interested in hearing about Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. They are not interested in hearing the loving accounts of beloved Nitai Chad. They are not interested, they are not filled with ecstasy on hearing about Gaur Nitai. They don't have the greed to hear about Gaur Nitai. Then what Radha Dasya, what Radha Dasi all Manjari they are going to become? Madhuro Brinda Bipino Madhuri Probesho Chaturi Shar. This means that we need extremely great spiritual intelligence and expertise to enter the sweet Vrindavan, into the gardens of sweet Vrindavan, into the flower groves of sweet Vrindavan. We need to have a lot of high level spiritual intelligence. And what, from where are we going to get this spiritual intelligence? Till we are able to enter into the flower groves of Vrindavan, we cannot call ourselves intelligent. But from where to get this good spiritual intelligence? Borojo jugoti bhabero aroti shokoti hoi to kar. How is it possible for anybody to get this spiritual intelligence, to understand the bhav of the Braja maidens? It is not possible for ordinary weaklings like ourselves. For this we need very strong kripa of Nitai Gaur. Sri Saraswati Pad is saying that today pure devotion has become available to everybody. Everybody can understand pure devotion, but it is not so. Even today, everybody is not able to understand pure devotion. Inside Gauriya Vaishnava Sampradaya also, people are not able to understand pure devotion. They do not know what it is to be selfless, unmotivated bhaktas. Because we don't find lovers of Gauranga Sundar. We don't find those who are crying in ecstasy just by chanting the holy name of Gauranga. Forget the world. Forget rest of India. Just let's take a look only amongst the Bengalis. How many Bengalis can you see? Just look around yourselves who are crying, weeping by the name of Gauranga. How many are hankering, craving for the lotus feet of Gauranitai? How many? Then how many can get pure Radha Prem, pure Radha Dasya? How many can become followers of Radharani? actually what Saraswati Pad is trying to say is that only when we place Gauranga's lotus feet firmly in our heart, we are able to walk on the path of Gauranga, love Gauranga, embrace Gaurasundar's lotus feet. Only then we will become qualified to understand what is pure bhakti. Otherwise, it is impossible to understand Hari Bhakti. We will have to come completely under the control of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. If this would have not been the case, then all those Munipungavai, all those great munis, sages, they would have been able to understand Hari Bhakti, follow Hari Bhakti. But why is it that they did not understand the real message, the prime message of the Vedas? Why, even after becoming Vaishnavas, so many great Vaishnava acharyas, they preached Dvaitism, Vishishta Dvaitism, and all these other paths, because they were unable to surrender themselves to the lotus feet of Sri Gauranga. They were not in control of Lord Gauranga and his acharyas. So let us now question that what is the solution then to this problem? The solution is that we will have to preach Nitai Gaur Katha at the doorsteps of every home in the world. We don't have to tell them about other hi-fi things, but simply make people first of all surrender to Nitai Gauranga. Preach Gauranga, Gaur Prem, Gaur Life, Gaur Leela. Everyone at first have to know the wonderful pastimes of Nitai Gauranga. Everyone at first have to completely lay their hearts at the feet of Nitai Gauranga. Only after we lay our hearts at the lotus feet of Nitai Gaur, we will come to know what is pure devotion. Pure devotion only then will enter into our, not only our head, but our heart. It is true that Gaur Nitai are not ordinary personalities. It is not easy to understand them. Our scriptures are saying, Sureshanam Durgam. He is inconceivable even to Lord Indra. He is the one who protects the demigods and goddesses. He is the one who can deliver even the Upanishads. But he makes himself easily available and he appears very as sweetness personified to his devotees who have surrendered themselves at his lotus feet. He is the one who is the especially condensed nectarine frame of the Gopa beauties. He is Gauranga. When will I get his sakshatkar? When will I get his actual darshan? So we will have to have this greed in our heart. When will I get actual darshan of Gauranga? Only when we get this greed in our heart, this craving, then we become entitled to walk on the path of Radha Bhajan. Not until then. This is the prayer of Sri Rupa Goswami, who is none other than Rupa Manjari. Sri Saraswati Pad has made a wonderful statement that today what the great sages of yesteryears could not determine, the topmost message of the Vedic Shastras. Today, Gauranga Sundar has made it available to everybody. Saraswati Pad has beautiful Gauranga Prem. Saraswati Pad has beautiful Gaur Nishtha, Gaur Bhakti. He is singing the glorification of Gaur Sundar in his beautiful, musical, poetic manner. If Sri Gauranga Sundar has kripa on us, we shall relish more of it tomorrow. Jai Nitai, Jai Gaur.